This is Hey Beautiful, the podcast where we binge and recap every episode of How I Met Your Mother. No spoilers. So suit up, grab a sandwich, and settle in. Hi, Kate.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so good. This is like week three of therapy for me. So I just feel like the spring is back in my step.
Nice.
Really enjoying it. So that's been good. How about you?
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
You'll get there, dude.
My niece just had her birthday, and as you know, the resident unhinged auntie, I always get her the best fucking gifts. This year I got her like this little tiny, like little backpack with like rainbows all over, cause she loves it. Filled with sprinkles.
Oh,
like three big things of sprinkles.
That's awesome.
And she was like, what? And she loves sprinkles. My sister's like, what the fuck did you do? And I was like,
she's eating them with a spoon.
Oh yeah, her and Everly just pouring into their hand.
Oh, like,
yeah.
Emma does that with black pepper. She like holds her hand out because my brother taught her.
She's not white, so she likes spice.
She holds out her hand for us to crack fresh ground pepper into her hand, and then she goes, nuts, that kid.
All right, don't you love like. That so Lola is also like crazy. Like she growls when she talks. Yeah. She's just the craziest shit. She wants everyone to call her apple pie.
I love it so much.
Like she is just crazy.
Yeah, little kids are weird. Best. I like being an aunt a lot for
it's
sure.
The best. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's good to see you again.
You too, friend.
I missed you and I missed this. For sure. Yeah, and now I get to see you like extra because How I Met Your Father.
Yay!
So season two just came out this week and we just taped our reaction and it is only available for our patrons. So yes, you have
episode
to sign up.
Episode one is up now. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, by the time this is aired, that should be well up.
Yes. You got this. So, yeah, so you can, you know, join our Patreon going to patreon.com/heybeautifulpod. And for as little as $2 a month, I'll get to that other part. But How I Met Your Father is a delightful show. And it's when Kate and I do our recaps, it's a little bit like less structured. It's more off the cuff. It's just us having a conversation as two lifelong friends and just trashing it or just falling all over ourselves. But
and talking about the huge cameo in episode one.
Huge. So and
if you want to hear our reactions, you gotta join our Patreon
and our speculations, which are
a little creepy, but that's fine.
That's okay
for sure.
And also Jason Segel has a new show out on Apple TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Harrison Ford. So that's big shit. I don't have Apple TV, but I need to get it because I want to watch this, obviously. I want to watch the morning show.
For like three more weeks.
Oh. When does this come out? It comes out into January. Yeah, January 27th. Oh, tomorrow.
Oh.
Or 2 days from now. So yeah, if you're listening to this, you can watch at least the first episode on Apple TV. It's called Shrinking, and it's about a grieving therapist starts to break the rules by telling his clients exactly what he thinks. I love that.
Me too. Sounds ignoring great. His training and ethics.
And Harrison Ford is like a notorious asshole. I think he's like a curmudgeon, you know? I don't think he's not like how we're finding out that Bill Murray and Chevy Chase are like toxic, malignant dickheads. I think that Harrison Ford is just a grump.
You know
what I mean? That's what I've heard, but maybe it's worse. I don't know. That's just what it seems like. No male faves, though, in 2023. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. Couldn't be me.
No.
Not in this climate. Not in this economy.
In these economic times.
So, yeah, so you can check that out on You can check that out on Apple TV. We definitely will if I can get Apple TV Plus or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah. So that's that.
That's
it. Anything new going on? Any good dinners?
Yes, good dinners. Also, Emma got her chemo port out today.
Ooh, that's big.
That's big. Because that means now, anytime she has a fever, she doesn't have to go to the emergency room. She can just get treated at home with Tylenol like a normal kid.
That's amazing.
So that's done. That's like the last, really the last thing. She's still on her oral chemo, but she's in remission. She's, her port is out. She's healing. And now hopefully everyone in my family will go to therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder, because my therapist has confirmed that I have that. So let's go. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited to tip off that iceberg and feel better again. And it's already feels lighter. So if anyone out there is thinking about therapy, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Okay, let's dive in, because we have 14
legendary moments from listeners just like you. So let's get into glitter. Whew. This episode is brought to you by our Patreon pals, especially our almighty five and high six members, Johnny, Ben, Tish, Adam, Chris, and Lisa. Our sliding scale means no matter what you can afford, you can enjoy all the perks that we have to offer. That means early access to every episode we make, the How I Met Your Father reactions, and private live streams with us, and more. So just join for as little as $2 a month at patreon.com/heybeautifulpod. I just want to start off by saying that this episode has a lot of sexual undertones, which is very fitting for season 6, episode 9.
Oh,
69.
69.
Yeah.
Rarely worth the effort. 69. And that's something you say in your mid-30s.
Yes. Yes.
Rarely.
When
the deuce is not worth the squeeze.
Let's all be honest with ourselves. I don't want to be on top. I don't want to be on the bottom. Like maybe a side act. Like
a side, maybe.
But then you got to hold the. It's just uncomfortable. At best.
Yeah. The physics are just.
And logistics, like torso height is not
length,
always.
Yes.
It's just too much.
Yeah. It's too much. Yeah.
But you know what's not too much is this episode. It is exactly just enough. And that episode is Glitter. First aired November 15th, 2010. And it was written by Courtney King. Who also wrote Slapbet and Sandcastle in the Sand. So a Robin Sparkle stan.
And we get a Slapbet reference here. So that,
yes.
I mean, a great callback.
So
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
And directed by our girl, Pam Fryman.
Yay.
Yeah. So this episode starts off like everyone's up at the bar. Barney shows up wearing a boutonniere because, of course, he does. It's one of his latest schemes to pick up women. And also, Kate, you speak French, so you can confirm that boutonniere means
booty is near. Near. Yes, right. Exactly that.
I wrote actually means butthole instead of buttonhole.
Actually, it means butthole. Okay.
Just gonna fix that on my notes.
It's buttonhole. Because you put the flower in your buttonhole.
Yes.
In your butthole. Boop.
Okay.
Keeps it fresh.
Literally with the flower. Anyway, so Robin and Barney go kind of like back and forth. She's like so against it. It's stupid. But she's like, you know what? Fine. I guess their suits are kind of boring without them, which is unforgivable as far as Barney is concerned, and he demands satisfaction, but not in the form of a duel. He has a very embarrassing video for them to view. It is Robin Sparkles 3.
Sparkles 3, y'all.
And everyone just like, oh! Like it's like a slow react at first, and then they're just like all about it. So in case you somehow forgot, Robin was a teen pop star and until today was on a very mysterious Canadian TV show, but Barney being Barney got access to it. It got his mitts on a copy and is now going to play it.
And clearly he's been holding on to it, waiting for the right moment.
It was the reveal. Like
He
started the fight. Yeah.
Yeah. He's slow playing it. He baited. I think he baited with the boutonniere.
Yeah. He's engineered the entire situation.
100%. He's like, I'm going to get this bitch to make fun of me.
Yep.
And then it's slam dunk. Down.
So totally. While Barney's getting the video ready, Lily asks Robin to go get a Korean massage there. And Robin's like, yeah, you know, I've got, you know, my neck. You know, it's kind of annoying. And then Lily starts talking about, well, got to get my massages in now because before I get pregnant, no more massages, blah, blah, blah. And Robin's like, yeah, so annoying. And you could interpret that as like her neck is bothering her. But if you see her face and you know how she reacts, that's not what it's about. And also because at the very beginning of the episode, future Ted tells us that conception has just like fully taken over Lily's brain to the point that she's neglecting her friendships, and it's the only thing she can talk about. And you know, she talks about like she doesn't even pay attention to how Robin's even reacting to it. She just keeps going with these info dumps. Like, she doesn't care that Robin almost vomits about the mucus or the scary birth video
or the when she's talking about her mom's like x-ray or whatever, the scan. She's like, look at this crib. That's the best one.
It's so bad. And and it makes me feel sad. And Robin, you know, future Ted says that, like, it wasn't too big of a deal until it was.
Yeah.
So, like, keep that in your mind. But back to Space Teens. Is it the porno? No. No, it is a children's show. But is it?
We almost get the slap bet. We almost get the, what could have been the finale of the slap bet if it had been porn. I forgot the porno thing was still out there.
Like, and because we know we have three more seasons, like, it would have been sad for them all to have been used by now. Because it's one of my favorite, like, runners throughout. Oh, no spoilers, but it's just, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
So I listened to the official How I Met Your Mother podcast about this episode, Private
Life.
Private joke. And one of the things that it was Jessica Glitter and Robin.
Cool.
And they talked about how this idea of Robin Sparkles and Jessica Glitter, that idea had been around since like season one, even though you don't hear about any of it. Like, they had always, and they played with different versions of what this friendship could look like, but they had decided that they wanted to make this mysterious TV show that Alan Thicke references the previous season. They wanted to make it something that they wanted to play into that stereotype of Canadians being very sweet and good natured and like not having their minds in the gutters and Americans just going like way over the top. And so they like really, really leaned into that on the show. So on Space Teen. So, you know, you see there's a stripper pole. There's, you know, Ted says there's bad lighting. There's the delusional girl who thinks it's a stepping stone to fame. The premise of the show is these two average Canadians who solve crimes in space using math.
I totally would have fucked with that show.
Well, okay. So they talk about that. Was that in the podcast? I had a note somewhere where they said like, that's what, oh no, I think it was Jessica Glitter was talking about it, Nicole, saying something that they wanted it to be like this fun show for girls who love, and that's how they would think about it. The Canadians were like, it's a great show for girls who love science and math. And I'm just like,
me and you, science camp.
Right?
We're going to Yale.
Right?
We definitely would have had like a joint Halloween costume.
Oh, for sure.
Of glitter and sparkles, for sure.
We probably would have made, like, Sarah be the robot. Oh, no, Boy would have been the robot.
Oh, the robot! Who we met. Thank you
who
so much.
Who we met. We know met the robot. Personally.
Yeah.
But throughout the show, it's just, like, all these, like, sexual innuendos. You know, there's this asteroid belt, and the girls are just bouncing up and down in slow motion. Mm-hmm. Then there's a joystick that they have to, like, wrangle. And
that's, like, shooting.
It's like phallic, and Alan Thicke has this face, and he's egging them on.
And he's like right over it. He's like over the top, like in the same.
And the last problem is 23 times 3, which is 69. Also in the Private Joke podcast, they talk about how they had to like get approval for some of these jokes and for the song too, because it was like such a fine line with like, is it going to get cut? Is it going to get flagged? Will they get fined? It was really, the part was like very delightful.
That's awesome. I have to point out, because this is like the super Canadian show, right?
It's not the metric system.
Well, no, I did see that too. It's in inches, not.
Yeah. I'm like, woo.
Centimeters. The spaceship is a curling stone. And I never noticed that until this watch. I have watched this show and this episode so many times.
I just
realized that the spaceship is a fucking curling stone. I'm going to have to post that on our Instagram because I was blown away.
That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, also, there's all these jokes about Barney's boutonniere.
Mm-hmm.
Why is no one talking about Ted's fucking vest? This is one of the most
egregious errors.
This is a war crime on par with, I'm not going to say one because it's just going to be offensive, but this is bad.
It's bad.
It is like, I don't understand it. I feel like we've gone backwards.
He was doing so well.
It almost looks like a woman's cut. I don't understand.
Robin's in the wash. I don't know.
Yeah. Punchy was right to be concerned. And I love, we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
In the next scene. Yeah. I'm trying to see if there was anything else. Yeah. The spaceship was a curling stone. Oh, yeah. And then we get into the other stuff. But yeah. Love Space Teens. We definitely would have been two of the biggest fans, like writing letters to Glitter and Sparkles.
Sparkles,
huge,
for sure.
Huge lesbian crushes on them, for sure. Beyond.
I just want to be their friends.
Yeah, I just want to be with them all the time.
All the time.
I want to be under their skin.
Hold their hands.
Normal. Totally normal reaction.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. But it's nice because we get a little bit more information about Robin, because we find out that Jessica Glitter was not only her best friend on the show, but also in real life. And yeah. I don't love Lily in this episode. Like, she's like... Wait, but BFFs are forever. I'm like, you teach kindergarten, but are you in, like,
right? Yeah. Well, she's got, like, yeah, she's got issues.
I'm like, how many high school friends do you still have?
Yeah, she's got Michelle, who I love.
True.
I love. So this is kind of like a little bit of a Revertigo episode with Ted.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. But yeah, so Lily's like, if you guys were such good friends, how come we've never met her? And, you know, Robin's kind of vague. She's like, we just sort of like drifted apart. You know, it was really painful. And, you know, she still sends a Christmas card, but that's kind of it. And, you know, Marshall brings up the fact that it's not uncommon for high school friendships to kind of fizzle. And I've seen that. I've seen that. I've experienced that. And then some friendships stand the test of time.
But like, we weren't like, I feel like you're more closer to a sibling than like a neighborhood friend or like a high school friend. Although, I mean, they've been friends since elementary school, but like, what'd you say?
Tyler's sister.
Tyler's sister is the girl that lived up the street that Caitlin was jealous of. She wouldn't say her name.
I was like, I wouldn't let Kate say her name around me. I was like, oh no. No, you have one friend.
It's me. She has nothing but Tyler's sister.
Say it. That's me holding like a spoon to you.
But yeah, so I consider you more than like a friend. We really didn't go to school together very much.
Mm-mm.
So I think that was a piece of it too. We saw each other way more than that. But it is true. Like I have no friends from high school. Or before that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Why?
And it's like, if I feel like, and maybe we've talked about this on here, but I think if you reach, and I don't want to say peaked, because I think some people know who they are in high school without peaking in high school.
Like your sister, you said, like, sister. She knew who she was and her friends did too. And they're all.
Yes. And so that, I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. You guys have like this lifelong friendship. That's really cool. But if you, I was a late bloomer. I had no idea who the fuck I was until I like was in master's,
like now.
Like in grad school, you know? Yeah. So for me, the people I knew in high school, I feel like we would be unrecognizable to each other.
They now. would,
And I would not want to like go back and be stuck in that that persona that they remembered me as, you know, it feel regressive. And I mean, I did have one friend that I tried to stay close with, but that didn't go well. So yeah, I think it's okay to move forward. I'm surprised that it's Marshall who says he's not friends with anyone from high school because he loves that small town shit.
It seems like, yeah, I'd be right up his alley. But
yeah. I guess it needed to be Ted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like Ted brings up his friend Punchy and that even though he only sees him maybe once a year, it doesn't matter. He can just pick up the phone and call him anytime and it's fine. He proves the point by calling him and Punchy answers immediately and he's like, anytime you're in New York, definitely. And that's it. That's like their friendship.
That's their check-in, right.
Yeah. You know, Lily doesn't understand how, you know, that if they could have been so close and then they just stop talking, like what happened? And Robin sort of snaps a little bit and she's like, well, it did, it happened, and we haven't spoken for 5 years, and that's that. And she leaves. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Robin's always been kind of closed off.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising that she wouldn't, you know, immediately share something, especially if it was a little bit painful. But we've got one half of the Mosby boys in the apartment.
Sure do, Caitlin.
He's very good at solving mysteries and crimes. He's taking a cue from the space team and uses math.
Yep.
To figure out that this Christmas card of Jessica, in it she's got a kid, and the kid looks to be about 4 years, 3 months per Lily.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning she was pregnant 5 years ago, which is when they stopped being friends. And what does everyone know about Robin?
Robin hates kids.
The last thing she wanted to do is hang around with some little brat, which of course freaks Lily out because Robin's going to dump her as a friend.
Of course, Robin hates kids. Like, I just don't even realize how upset Lily is about it. It's so funny.
The last thing she wanted to do is hang around with some little brat.
And Lily is sweet here when her face like crumpled. And she's like, Robin's going to dump me.
You know, so I had a baby way before any of my friends did. And my friends dumped me, and not because of anything other than the fact that like I was 19 with a baby and they didn't have any of those kinds of responsibilities. And it's just different, and it's okay.
Well, but I remember when my friends had their first kid, and it was like a glitter situation where they didn't dump us. Right. But they just had a different life and they were exhausted and just keeping a fucking baby alive. So,
yeah.
I mean, if we wanted to see them, we had to like force our way into their house. Right. So it took a while for me to like realize that the friendship could come back around when they were out of the woods to some degree. But I remember feeling the way Lily felt of like,
yeah,
we're not going to matter to them anymore.
Every time like Chris and I meet, because, you know, again, like most of our friends, their kids are much younger and not independent. So we'll meet a friend who's maybe like younger, just like doesn't have kids, or our age, or doesn't have kids yet. And we're like, yes. And then like, fuck, someone got pregnant. We're like, God damn it. We had a good thing going here.
Yeah.
We didn't remember we wanted.
Yep. Had to go and ruin it with a little brat.
Meh.
For sure.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
So, well, we're back to watching Space Teens. I can't believe they were watching it without Marshall and Lily. I think that's so rude.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not. It seems like the first watch, but whatever. I'll give them benefit of the doubt. And it's worse than ever because now Sparkles and Glitter are there talking about their beavers. And in comes Allie.
We should have started the show. I should have been like, hey, Kate, how's your beaver?
How's your beaver? So in comes Alan Thicke with his wood. And they're talking about eating 6 to 8 inches like every half hour, 45 minutes. And it's so bad that they can't. And Robin like rips the DVD out. She's like, you don't deserve this.
Now, how about we sing you a song about our beavers?
About our beavers.
Like,
and we get the opening notes of two beavers are better than one. I think is one of the best songs.
Agreed.
In the show. Like it always gets stuck in my head if I hear it, so I'm in trouble.
Been
for the next,
singing
like,
it
two
for
weeks.
A long,
yeah,
like not a long time, for like a week, but still
for sure. And go ahead.
They had to get the lyrics cleared that was one of the things they said. If it was something that a beaver actually would do,
mm-hmm.
like you could say a beaver could be hungry, but you right. can't say like, you know, like my, like
sloppy.
You
gotta be,
yeah,
you got to be careful. You got to be careful with the.
You got to be really careful.
I want to say the ways and means. That's not what it is. I forget what the group is that.
Robin
this.
Said it.
Yeah. Not terms and conditions. It's something and something.
Yeah, she said it, and she said it quick, and I didn't write it down. But yeah,
it's all good. So then enter Punchy. Punchy shows up unannounced in his Cleveland Browns orange and brown, and he says he's going to crash on the couch. So Ted is now being confronted with basically Punchy has called his bluff. Where Ted's mm-hmm. like, we're still great friends. But in comes Punchy, and he's basically, you know, the person he was
hey, 10 Schmozy.
Years ago or more. And just have like we, is this the him. First time we've seen Punchy?
No, he was in,
was it the Revertigo episode?
Yeah.
Where they're like shoving each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wrote down what it was. Fuck, I wrote down the episode name and I can't remember what it was.
Okay,
now.
Yeah. So we've seen them before.
Yeah, he was.
Yep. We know that this is their MO.
Yeah, that's like his little shtick.
Right. And they're at the bar and Punchy's doing his punching thing. He's like, hey, Schmozby, you remember when you duke it in your pants? Unbelievable.
I love
when Robin does it. It's so good. It's like Jeez. Dead on.
And she's just like fucking pissed too.
So mad. Remember when you took a dookie on our couch in the shape of your high school friend?
Unbelievable! That when she's just unbelievable, I lose it every time. Because
so
she just
good.
Looks angry and
yeah,
like
she's so mad. She's like, oh. And so Ted, it's interesting because it's an example of like two people in different worlds who think they know best for someone living a different mm-hmm. life. Because
yeah.
Ted feels so bad that Punchy is stuck in Ohio, stuck in this dead end job that he's had for 15 years, which most people would like, consider like job security.
Yeah,
right?
Like you're doing something all right.
Right. And so he's like really concerned for Punchy. So
and
he's
judgy.
Like judgy for sure, because, you know, Punchy didn't get out of Ohio. And we'll see that, the inverse of that later. Mm-hmm. And then, so they're all at the bar and Robin heads out as Lily's coming in for a massage. And she, you know, Lily's like, wait, I thought we were going to get a massage. Yeah, that's our thing. And Robin's like, oh, I figured you'd be too busy reading what is it?
What to expect. What you're expecting to expect.
And she was just like.
And then like Mike drops and like walked out.
No. Yeah. Real bad. But Robin doesn't know that Lily has come to this conclusion that she's going to get dumped. So it might have been just like a sassy thing Robin would say.
Yeah, just
but
her
now,
being sarcastic.
Right. Within this context, it really was a gut punch to Lily. And Lily feels like it's already starting, that she's already pulling away. And Marshall's like, just try hanging out with her without talking about babies constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I understand that when you're looking into that stuff, it is like the main thing in your life and you want to talk about
you.
It.
Yeah.
It does consume you, but she is being fucking annoying about it.
Yeah, she's being a Grinch.
She's being an absolute Grinch. And she can't even last like 2 minutes. She walks in the door to hang out with Robin.
What brings you to the crib? You look rattled.
Yeah, she gets two sentences in and she breaks and she's like, I can't do this. I want to talk about babies as a future mother. And that's like it for Robin. She's like, you're not even fucking pregnant. You need
to see your Facebook updates.
Yeah, the egg has not attached to your uterine wall. And she's like, you're not pregnant yet. And then Lily, you know, gets super defensive and she's like, well, guess what? You don't need to talk to the baby. You don't need to see the baby when it's born and you don't need to see me either.
Honestly, I'm like, are you pregnant? You're really fucking hormonal.
Right. And then they break up as friends. It's a friend.
Yeah.
It's a friend breakup. And she's really sad. And Marshall doesn't want to comfort her because
she's wrong.
She was a Grinch, but maybe just one cuddle and that's it.
But I do appreciate that he pushed back and was like, no, yeah. Lily, like, you're wrong and you need to fix this.
Mm-hmm. You're as wrong as when you accidentally shredded my
Joey Buttafuoco pants. Younger listeners, do you understand that reference?
Mm. If not, look it up. The 90s were wild.
Wild.
Wild. Wild.
At the bar, Ted and Punchy come back from what sounds like a very full day of sightseeing in Times Square, which is literally every New Yorker's like nightmare.
Every New Yorker's 9/11.
That's fucked up. Anytime I go to visit my uncles, like we mostly just stay in Brooklyn now because that's where they live, but yeah. We never ever go to like Midtown, really. Right.
Yeah, it's bad.
At all. Bad. Yeah. So Ted's just like, oh my God, I'm losing it. And he hands Ted all of his stuff. So, because he's going to go pee in the jar that he's got going in the alley. Now, they've been gone all day sightseeing. That's the inference I'm making. Mm-hmm. And yet he has a jar of piss in the alley still.
From last night, I guess.
I don't know. He's got to go.
Is he going down like while he's at home upstairs?
Maybe. I don't know. It's gross.
Pretty gross, Punch.
And Barney's like, he's got to go. Like, come mm-hmm. on. And then he does mm-hmm. all these catchphrases from these different reality shows. I will call out Drag Race.
Yep.
And also Project Runway and mm-hmm. America's Next Top Model.
And Top Chef. Padma's in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I was just saying, like, I was just naming the ones that I liked.
Yeah, well, like, Top Chef's one that I like.
All right.
Padma Lakshmi follows me on Instagram.
Of course.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
It was The Weakest Link, Survivor, Top Chef, Work of Art, Flavor of Love. Oh, that was
a good one.
Beauty and the – why is – can't I see it? Uh-oh. Shoot, I just did something.
It's all good.
It's fine. You know, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter because no one
knows. You guys can Google it. It's fine.
You can Google it. It's fine. But so then Punchy comes back and he has such a soft side because he has, after he's pissed in the alley in the jar, he also found a wounded bird and he brought it in to show Ted.
So actually nice.
His scrotum. Which so didn't nice. Get cut and they thought might get cut, but that was fine. And Ted's just like, yeah, he's got to go. Like, I just, you know, pushed him over the edge.
Can I tell you, related to that, my mom, a guy exposed himself to my mom when she was a kid, and she thought it was, he was in his car, and she thought it was a baby kitten. And she had to go to the police station and identify him.
Ooh, that's
She had no idea what it was. I was like, Mom, holy shit. Good times in the 50s.
I was driving home, like, from where I used to live in the central part of the state, and driving back down this place. And this is, like, a very traumatic experience for me. There's a man in a white pickup truck, like, to the point where I get, like, panic.
Oh, God.
And he kept following me, like, staying with me, and he was masturbating.
And I have had that happen, too. And he had, I don't know what color the truck was. I don't know if it was a white truck.
But like, but
he had Pam, like spray Pam, and was like spraying it. And then like, yeah, it was really bad.
He like, it was like weaving in traffic, like to stay with me. And then I pretended I was getting off the exit and he went off the exit. And then I pulled out into traffic and just like sped the fuck away. Like because I couldn't even think about like calling the police or anything like that. Like it was so...
Ew.
Gross. Yeah.
Been there.
Disgusting.
Really terrible.
Yeah. So
being a woman,
why we don't like white men.
Yeah. Being a woman is really fun.
It's great. It's really great.
Have you ever been driving and someone's jerking off to you right in the car next to you guys? Hey guys. Hey fellas. Is it gay? Anyway.
Anyway. Anyway. Marshall and Lily end up at Madison Square Garden during a Rangers game, which at first is kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. Even more so when Marshall says, well, since you won't talk to Robin, I figured you'd like to talk to the organist for the New York Rangers. But it makes sense when he opens his door and we see none other than Jessica Glitter. And I love like how
she,
like.
Yes. Well, she does the same thing that she does in the opening of the show.
And I, so, you know, Jessica Glitter is played by Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ever realize that until I looked it up. Like, I was not a big Pussycat Dolls fan, yeah. So I don't even know what she looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I know her voice. I know their songs. But it's not someone, like, I knew what she looked like. And I never.
You just didn't put two and two together.
No, never in my life. But that's she's fine. Just, like.
And that she was did great.
And, you know, that was one of the things they asked on the other podcast was when they interviewed her, what was it like coming into a cast of characters who work so closely together? And she said she was a little nervous about it, but they made her feel so welcome and warm. And it was, you know, really easy. And Colby had said that she brought a lot to the character and to the table, and they were joking, and she was like, yeah, they cut my dance moves, and Robin was, or Colby was like, well, yeah, you can't be gyrating into my vagina or something like that. And Nicole said she proposed the line, I got one hand in my beaver and the other one's reaching for you, and that was cut the song. It was just like very, very silly, but yeah, so anyway, so she is playing she's the organist for the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. And Marshall starts to spin a tale that he found her because, you know, a guitarist is basically like a keyboard. And what would be a job for somebody like that? But Jessica, Glitter isn't cool. And says, actually, his friend Barney looked me up hoping to buy my space team. And I love he's like, hey, Glitter, be cool. But I love throughout this conversation with Marshall, Lily, and Glitter that Glitter just keeps going back to doing her job. So, like, they'll clap along, they pause, yes. They do the cheers. So that just made me laugh because it's, like, a serious, heavy conversation. And there's just, like, this lightness throughout it.
Yeah.
But Lily explains that she's, you know, ex-best friends with Robin now, just like you used to be. And Glitter's like, Robin didn't dump me. I dumped her. And Lily's mm-hmm. like so floored. Like she's like, why? And Glitter's like, because I had a baby. And when you have a baby, all that best friend stuff, like hockey and bow hunting for caribou, math. Okay, no, I love how it's like she's like so nerdy in that way. Like, She goes, it all goes out the window and she tried to stay friends, but it just didn't happen. And she said that Robin took it really hard and she was concerned about like her mental well-being.
And charge.
Yeah, charge. It's just like, oof, the timing of it. And Lily the Pot calls Glitter black and says that you were cruel to dump Robin. And Glitter points out, she's like, didn't you do the same thing minus the baby? Like, you don't even have a baby. Your life has not changed. And you've already cut this person out of your life because you have made a decision for her.
Yeah. You don't, and on Subway Wars, they were talking about how they shouldn't be rushing this, right? Like, they were talking about how they need to enjoy what's happening right now instead of, like, jumping ahead and being all worried and being, mm-hmm. like, overly anxious about everything. So it's like, take your own advice from a few episodes ago, girl. They're serious.
So Lily's like, I have to make up with Robin. I have to go and do that. And she's like, because I'm not going to let that happen. And Glitter, you know, warns her not to make promises she can't keep because that's what she did. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just say this one part. It was because it reminded me of something I was listening to an Armchair Expert. But Glitter said that she's thought about calling her, but she doesn't have the courage. And it like on one of the Armchair Expert episodes, the person they were talking to was like, you know, people are so afraid to reach out and be like, hey, I haven't talked to you in like a while, but I think about you. Like the worst that would happen is like they ignore you and you just continue not to have that person in your life. But like you could regain, you know, potentially a connection. And it's really not as much at risk as maybe you think because and I love that Marshall's playing chopsticks in the background.
I know.
And she's like yells at him but then lets him finish the song. Like,
I mean, you gotta finish it.
You have to. My hands were like itching because I was just like, finish it.
Yeah. I was hoping you would do 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 do. So back at the apartment, Ted is kicking out Punchy. And it turns out, like I said earlier, Punchy is worried about Ted. And that's why he flew out here, because he heard in his voice that he seemed depressed. He also knows what's been happening in Ted's life the past couple of years, getting dumped at the altar, losing his job, living in this small apartment with no backyard. Yeah, it's like just a different life. No family around.
Still single. Yeah.
Still single. So it's
not
like
near Times Square.
Not near Times Square. Like, what is the point? So it's like all these like Midwest values, right? Mm-hmm. That Ted is not emulating. So they're both feeling bad for each other, even though they're just living very different lives. Yeah. And we find out that Punchy's getting married.
Yeah.
To his girl, who is so sweet. I love her.
She's like, you gotta go cheer him up. Buy him some shots.
Buy him some shots. Do the wounded bird trick.
You think that'll work?
Worked on me. This is so cute.
There's a sweet
little married couple.
Yeah. Who get each other and love each other. And it just.
Yes. So it's not. Punchy isn't like some sad sack. He's established himself. And just because it isn't New York doesn't mean it's not of value.
Right.
Yeah. And he asks Ted to be his best man. And the first thing I think is this the wedding where Ted meets his wife?
Who can say?
We know what happens at a wedding. Is Ted going to meet a nice girl from Ohio?
You know, when I think back about that, he did have on like a very fancy suit and he was like, he could be the best man.
That's right. I feel like he was the best man.
I can't remember if
I think they do say like the best man wants you.
Okay.
Or the best man's being summoned or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, shit, did I just spoil something? Fuck.
No.
Cut.
Yeah.
I honestly even like, I kind of like even a little choked up as Punchy was talking to Ted about like, about how he like really cared about him. And then they went right back to like beating the shit out of him.
Yeah. It was sweet. That's their love language. It's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, Lily is off to find Robin to go make amends, and she knows exactly where she's going to be. She's going to be at New York's Canadian Bar, the Hoser Hut, which we saw back in Little Minnesota and again in Dual Citizenship. Mm-hmm. And Lily rushes over to apologize, but Robin stops and admits that she also has been pulling away because the last time her best friend had a baby, and Lily stops her. She's like, no, I know all about that and I'm not going to do it. And I'm so sorry. I've been going crazy. I know you hate babies. And Robin's like, whoa, I hate most babies, but I'm going to love your kid so much. I'm going to pick it up. And I'm going to pick it up and everything.
Pick it up and everything. We'll see. We'll see, Robin.
We'll see. Yeah.
I have to say before we go further in this scene, I'm feeling a lot of appreciation for Marshall because he facilitated all of this. Mm-hmm. Like clearly Barney looks up Glitter, and then in that, Marshall sees an opportunity to help heal this rift between two people that are very stubborn, Robin and Lily, right? And so I just imagined him like talking on the phone with Jessica Glitter and telling her everything. Because she kind of knew what was going on, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, Marshall like set this whole thing up. They didn't just like show up on her. And it's just really sweet. So shout it is out really to sweet. Marshall.
Like, and even like going back when he was like, no, you're wrong. Like, you got to fix this. Like, he could see it. And he is such a good guy.
Such a good doobie. The moral compass of the show, really.
Yeah. He's got that Midwest heart and soul that Ted lacks.
Yeah. That Ted never had somehow.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as, like, the group's, like, they come in for a group hug and they're making up and everyone, you know, the guys are there. And in the background, you hear this, like, up-tempo beat. And Barney's like, And Robin's like, she recognizes. She's like, all right, which one of you put it on? And she looks to the right. And who is it?
Jessica Glitter.
And she's got her microphone and she's got one for Robin Sparkles, too. And they just, like, stare at each other. And, like, it felt like a genuine, like, reunion of, like, of friends, you know. Glitter staring right at her with the microphone, and they sing their sweet song about two beavers and how two beavers are better than one. I loved like all the, like the Canadian, like, you know, Alan Thicke there with the puppets. They've got a Mountie, a hockey player,
a grizzly bear,
a grizzly bear. The crowd is like insane. And I love that they all know the words, but the most important part is we can't forget the robot.
Don't forget the robot.
Don't forget the robot.
There's also the an impersonator of the queen and RIP, and also the Canadian prime minister at the time. So it was before Trudeau.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ugh.
So fun.
What a good sweet. I love an episode that's about friendship and not about love. Like the like romantic love, it's great, it's wonderful, but I like that this show also covers like the growing pains of friendships as you get older and because move into different phases of your life.
We say that all the time. Like, that's not something Friends did. It's not something that many shows, I think, feel comfortable doing or just even have the emotional range in their writing staff to like try and tackle it. It's not easy.
They just expect, I think a lot of times we're just expected to have our romantic relationship take up all of our energy and our time and our interest. I think that's a lot of a big reason why so many people are so lonely now.
I think it's a lot of pressure too, if that's what you think it should always be like, instead of like also realizing the importance of platonic friendships and relationships. But and how
even when you're in a romantic relationship, don't forget don't forget to nurture those friendships, because if something happens and you're alone again,
who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. Oh, so what'd you think, Caitlin?
Oh, just a delightful, fun episode. Just one of my favorites.
It's so good. I love it. Yeah, it's a zippy one. And shout out to Courtney Kang, who writes a great Sparkles episode, clearly. She's the bomb. All right, we have 14 legendary moments, so we should just get cracking right now.
All right. So our first one comes from Aaron, who sent this in 2018, 5 years ago. So when we first started. So Aaron, if you're still listening, thanks.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. So glad you've been with us since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron writes, my legendary moment is season 6, episode 9, Glitter, when Barney says all the goodbye elimination phrases from reality shows. Aaron, I'm curious if you still listen. 2, is that still your favorite part of the show?
Would love to know.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Helena. And Helena says, hey, ladies, as we all know, Robin Sparkle's episodes are always good. So many good moments, but my legendary moment is 2 beavers are better than 1. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I want Kobe Smulders on The Masked Singer, but only if after she gets unmasked, her and Nicole Scherzinger do an encore performance of 2 beavers. Honestly, that sounds incredible. I would watch that season of Masked Singer if that happened, because Nicole is a judge on that show, for anybody who doesn't know.
I didn't.
Kate, I'm not sure who you need to talk to, but I'm begging you to use your internet clout to make that happen. Anyway, that's the hill I'm willing to die on. Until next time, Helena. I'll think about it. I'll see if there are any strings I can pull. Probably not, but we'll see.
Maybe. Next is Becky. Becky says, it's Robin Sparkles 3, y'all. My legendary moment is 2 beavers are better than 1 in the hoser hut. It's a noble creature. A fun and lighthearted reminder that true friends will be with you through the changes of life when you need them. Stay beautiful.
Yay. Yeah, Becky. There's definitely a theme here, because Dina is next. And Dina's legendary moment is the beaver song as performed at the hoser hut. This narrowly wins the title of Legimo for me, because this is a Canadian and cis lesbian household. I must sing it to my girlfriend probably at least once a week. Shout out to the robot. Nice one, Dina.
That was lovely, Dina. Next, Robert writes in to say, hey, how's your beaver?
Busy as ever. Thanks, Robert. Next up is Lisa. And Lisa says, hi, ladies. Welcome back and happy new year. I'm so glad to have you both back and refreshed. Remember, when you feel alone, just pick up that phone. What is there not to like about this episode? Any Robin Sparkles and redacted episode is an automatic classic. Why does it say in redacted? Oh, I know what it is. Yeah, yeah. Math? Is it math? 23 times 3? Okay, gotcha. Automatic classic. I wonder if... No, because that would have been way before Glitter had a baby. It is so hard to choose just one legendary moment, so I'll just make it Nicole Scherzinger's guest spot and all the beaver jokes that accompany it. I loved hearing about her friendship with Robin and how that dynamic transcends into Robin's friendship with Lily. Excellent episode. Have a great week, Lisa. Thanks, Lisa.
Kalpesh writes in, hey girls, thanks for resuming our Him Yim recap. Glitter is all about Robin Sparkles and her teen space adventure. did this little bit help Colby get a role in Marvel Cinemas? And on the other podcast, they did talk to her about like, what's it like now being in a film where you know the ending, you know the arc of your character versus like a show where it's like, it could change, blah, 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 blah. So maybe, I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a Robin Sparkles cinematic universe as well, right? There's like so much here. And like you were saying, they've known since season one that it was going to be so much bigger than it was just.
Yeah, they knew about Jessica Glitter as like her best friend, and like they knew all these things.
Mm-hmm. And we're not done.
Is there any fanfic out there?
Oh, I am sure. I'm sure there is.
Kalpesh's legendary moment, Barney and Ted's reaction to watching Space Teens with Robin. Thanks a lot. Eagerly waiting for your How I Met Your Father reactions because it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Yay. Neil Patrick Harris has one of the best spit takes in the game. So that's a great legendary moment.
Yes.
Okay. Next up is Chris C. And Chris says, hi, ladies. Great to have you back. Hope everything is going well. Thank you, Chris. This episode is my favorite of season 6. Just the height of silliness that I loved with this show, from the great episode of Space Teens we got to see, including the commentary, Ted solving a crime using math and his poetic conclusion, Punchy's view on Ted's life in New York, and the amazing Beaver song featuring the robot at the end. I was just tickled the entire episode. Plus, they did bring up another hard thing about getting older, maintaining friendships when you have kids. Mm-hmm. I have to call this whole episode my legendary moment of season 6. That's a great pick. Great pick.
Yeah, no
complaints. For sure.
Rebecca writes, love this episode as I do all the Robin Sparkles ones. My legendary moments are when Barney quotes lots of ways to tell Punchy to leave from game shows and when Robin and Glitter sing two beavers are better than one at the end. I also laugh at how dirty Barney and Ted think Space Teens is, despite Robin protesting that it's just a kids show. But is it?
Good one. Good one. All right. Next up is Jen P. And Jen says, hi, Kate and Caitlin. Glad you guys are back and hope you both really benefited from the break. I did. I hope Caitlin did too. I know things are rough right now. But
there's a light at the end of the fucking tunnel.
Thank God.
And it's not a train coming at me. So that's.
Yay. I started listening to Hey Beautiful last spring and got caught up a couple of months ago. I've been watching Him Yim since it first aired, and I have lost count of how many times I've rewatched. It's my current go-to comfort show. You are in good company, Jen. I am neither here nor there about this episode. Really? It's actually my least favorite Robin Sparkles installment, but I was too damn excited to actually be able to share now that I'm caught up. So I guess my legendary moment is no Zoe this episode. Yeah. We will take it. We can all agree on that. Can't wait for more episodes. In the meantime, I'm working back through the Patreon content. Thanks for doing what you do, Jen in Texas. Yay! Hey. Thank you for joining Patreon, Jen.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. We hope you enjoy the silly videos and things that we've done.
I don't even remember. There's a hot dog toaster in there somewhere. That was a good day. I might go rewatch that after this.
Oh, remember we did pumpkin carving, too. We got to make the yam dolls this year for Have Hamish to make father. The yam dolls.
And we also have those silly toys that we have to do.
Someone brought it up the other day at work. Like, have you heard of, like, my daughter keeps asking me about, she was like, yes, I have one. I'm healing my inner child with my child, the best friend. And it's been sitting downstairs. We just haven't had the chance to use it
yet. We're ready. Yeah, we'll plan a Patreon live soon and finally play with our toys.
I'll make sure it's charged.
Sounds good.
Next, Jeff writes in, hi, K&K. I hope you're both doing well. This episode is a stone-cold classic all the way through, but my legmo would have to be the guy's reaction to the TV show. NPH croaking out the line, it's a noble creature. Makes me laugh every time. Runner-up would have to be Barney doing the list of all the reality show goodbyes. I did have a few thoughts that just occurred to me on this viewing. The first is that the chips on sale at the Hoser Hut are Walkers, which apparently are a British brand, presumably popular in Canada. I like that they went out of their way to make it even more authentic. The second thing is that I wonder how long Barney has been carrying around that DVD and waiting to spring it on Robin. Also, were there any hints in previous episodes that he had it? I don't remember any, but I might have missed them. Have a great day, everyone. Jeff. I don't believe there were any, like, hints that it existed at all.
The only thing that we knew is at the end of the...
But there was a show, but
the
not
Rough
that.
Patch, that's all we knew. We didn't know that he had a... We didn't know he had secured
the DVD.
The DVD. Yeah. We knew that he was on the search for it because that night, he, ran out of the diner looking for it. So... we know that he's been looking since season five.
And he's pretty resourceful, so we should have... we should have known, to be honest.
We should have known, for sure. Okay, next up is Adam. And Adam says, oh my God, this episode is so great. We get Robin Sparkles 3, y'all. This is such a fun episode about growing up watching a weirdly sexual kids show and learning about Robin's old friend Glitter. We learn how BFF doesn't always last forever. In fact, I had one, but that bridge burnt a long time ago. Same. I think that's true for everybody. Mm-hmm. My legendary moment is definitely the beaver song at the end, especially when Alan Thicke comes up from behind the bar with the two puppet beavers. I have all the music from the show and I love when that song comes on. Same.
Yeah.
Hope all is well. Your friend, Adam. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Tish is next, and Tish writes, hey, beautiful ladies. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have you back in my ear holes. We're happy to be here. This episode is truly one of my favorites. I love almost every moment of this episode. I can pretty much quote this entire episode. It's so hard to choose a legendary moment. I could choose all the times they watched the video and all the comments they made, or even the cliche moment when Robin and Glitter make up, or even the Alan Thicke cameo. All right.
So many.
But I think I got to give it to Barney's speech in the bar when he's quoting all the famous reality TV dismissal lines. Honestly, you know, my legendary moment goes to all the dialogue in the episode. Regards, Tish. That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like things are split between the beaver song and the reaction.
That everyone... Wait, oh, you said that the reality show one?
Yeah, the reality show thing. It seems like there's a split there
I'm
between
shocked
those
that
two.
That's been like such a hot...
I know. I think this show came out when reality shows were... hot.
I also don't watch reality shows really, other than Project Runway, Drag Race.
Yeah.
And.
But there was a time when like every show was an elimination show. So, I mean, I think if I was doing my legendary moment like 10 years ago, not that this is not being shady. I'm not being
shady. No.
But like when it came out, I know that I thought that was like the best part of it because it was like super, super topical. Mm-hmm. And they kind of try to stay away from super topical stuff. So this is an instance where they kind of went in on it.
When there was a point in the episode when Punchy first comes and Robin's like, he's got to go. I think about the bar. And he says something about like, he's never left Cleveland. He's like LeBron. That's some sort of.
Basketball. Yeah. Basketball.
Yeah. Okay.
LeBron.
But I was just like, I didn't really get it. So I didn't comment on it. So yeah, it's fine.
Somewhere two dudes are talking about the show and LeBron is the main
topic.
They're
very disappointed in us.
Yeah. Or they're on their podcast, the LeBron line is like the center of the show. All right. Hey, K&K, happy new year. It's great to hear your voices again. Well, I have to say I love me some Robin Sparkles and this episode did not disappoint. Obviously, we have to give major props for the Beaver song, which is now lodged in my head. Same. I would also give a legmo to Barney's recital of all the reality show rejection catchphrases and an honorable mention to having a pussycat doll playing the organ at the ice hockey game. Bye for now, Claire. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
All right, Caitlin, what is your legendary moment? Hey, Beaver, come on.
I think I love the Bieber song. Like, it just has to be. Like, because I could have, say, like, the friendship, the theme, like, all that. But, like, this is when we hear the Bieber song. So, that, yeah. The Robin Sparkles.
Yeah.
Is what.
It's definitely the two Beavers are better than one in the hoser hut. Mm-hmm. Just the ultra Canadian-ness of it.
It made me feel like, up until that point, maybe they didn't really believe that Robin was famous, or that like her music or that show like was as much of like a cultural kind of thing.
Phenomenon.
And then like, because they look and everyone's singing.
Right. And it's like Canada is like this alien, alien planet, right? And they've landed and Robin's this huge star there.
Right.
So good.
It's I love so it.
Good. Me too. Yeah.
How about you? You?
Yeah. You too? Perfect. Definitely. Hey, Beaver, come on. Two Beavers are better than one.
Oh, my. I'm going to be laying in bed at like 2 a.m. singing that fucking song.
You're my favorite Beaver. So good. I recommend listening to the whole song because the whole song is gross.
The whole song, it's
very suggestive. Like, the ice cream cone will lick it side by side. It gets worse from there.
There were some lines that they wanted them to change that were actually, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, it feels so good or something they wanted instead. Robin was like, the suggestion was worse. It was worse. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's so funny.
Love this show.
Me too. All right, my friends, our friends, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for Blitzgiving. So send your legendary moments to heybeautifulpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to put in the subject line Blitzgiving, so that way we don't forget it and we can find it, even if you sent it 5 years ago. So,
that's right.
You know, that's the magic of including very specific information in that subject line so we can find your legendary moments.
Correct.
And if you love this recap, leave us an Apple Podcast review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher so you never miss a recap. And we hope you'll come back next episode,
because it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
This has been Hey Beautiful with your hosts, Kate Gorton and Caitlin Turner. Our intro outro music is by Owl All.